Okay, so let's get to it. This week and next week, we're going to touch down on some of the areas in this book, but you can read it outside of the meetings. Just a quick orientation. When our church thinks about mission, outward posture, evangelism, we think of four things, four fronts. You know, you fight a war on different fronts. We think of four fronts of mission. Neighbors, nations, this is planting and strengthening churches, sending teams. We've got a team in the DR, Dominican Republic, at the moment. You've gone down to strengthen believers there. Neighbors, nations, this one is city. We believe in helping the poor with works of benevolence, justice, and being good citizens. Good citizens, as the Bible teaches. And then this one's culture. How do we influence culture? This is the slow burn one. So this would be faith at work. How do you live out your faith? Faith at work. Sorry about that. Faith at work. the other 6 days of the week. How do we bring Christian ethics, Christian morals, and so on? Now, of these, this one's the most important. Because you need this one to do that, to do that, and to do that. So we're working on all four fronts, but we're having a bit of a blitz this year and going into next year on the first one, because that's really the engine room of it all. So, page one, the importance of friend to friend. Why not just preacher to people? Why isn't that the title? Well, similar to Bible times, people today most commonly cross the line of faith as a result of hearing the gospel preached publicly by a preacher and or, it's usually both, and or through hearing personally from a stranger, acquaintance, or friend. In modern Western cities today, preaching alone is not cutting it. Friendship evangelism is needed more than ever before for several reasons. First, modern Western city dwellers tend to place a high value on authenticity and tend to be suspicious of all things institutional, especially when it comes to religion. As a result, they're usually more open to receiving spiritual truth from a trusted friend or a preacher who a trusted friend says is trustworthy. Second, due to an increasingly secular world, most believers have a minimal grasp on aspects of faith. This means they are unlikely to understand and receive it through a one-time sermon or conversation. Usually they need multiple conversations, not just one-way traffic like this, and exposures. That's best achieved through a steady friendship with a Christ follower. Third, modern Westerners like us appreciate logic, and unbelievers tend to be quite thoughtful and usually have several presuppositional objections to Christianity that until addressed to some degree, they will struggle to explore Christianity seriously. We did a tough question series recently tackling some of these common objections, and you can see tool number four at the back for some brief Q&A on that. Fourthly, just to say, I bumped my head against the wall on this big time. Friend called Steve, I think he was, my friendship with him in Joburg, he was getting quite close to crossing the line of faith. And he said, just give it to me straight. So I gave it, he said, just tell me this Christian thing straight. I gave it to him and I used the phrase, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, and I was on fire. I mean, we're in this coffee shop, but I was just flowing, you know? And I was sure he was gonna just say, yeah, I want to become a Christian. And when I finished, he said, my problem is I don't believe the Bible. So, big lesson learned. We need a backup and meet people where they're at before we get into some of the detail. Fourth, preaching contexts such as these meetings, carol concerts, Easter crusades, alphas, are only fruitful if unbelievers are actually there. They tend not to come outside of a trusted Christian friend inviting them along. So I know some of us today are exploring faith. Most of you didn't see the sign and come in. Most of you have got a friend at Cove Life, our church, who's been saying to you, oh, come along. I'd love to hear what you think about our church. I'd love you to hear why I'm a Christian. Sunday is a great place to hear about Christianity, and not just hear about it, but to see it, experience it. That's probably why you're here. And once you do become a Christian, it's not like you know everything then. You're going to need a trusted Christian friend to keep talking to about your faith. Here's the rub. Friendship evangelism is needed, but it's not popular because it takes effort, training, and means that every Christian needs to take responsibility for evangelism rather than outsourcing it to missionaries or pastors. Over the page, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Interesting. In the same breath that Jesus called them to follow him, he calls them to help others follow him. Mark 5, he's told a new convert to go home and, I thought he was going to say, read your Bible and pray, which are good things to do, very good things to do. But Jesus says, go home and tell others what the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. Sharing the gospel with others through words and actions is absolutely Christianity 101. And in John 1, we read about Philip becoming a Christ follower. Then Philip goes and tells his friend Nathaniel. He says, Nathaniel, come and see. Come and see. Come and listen. And then Nathaniel comes to Christ as well. It's a great story. So telling our friends, living it out, living missionally, neighbors, work colleagues, this is for every Christ follower, young, old, new or mature. And obviously, and the more mature you are as a Christian, the more you'll be doing it because it's an elementary thing. In season and out of season was the phrase that Paul used for Timothy about being an evangelist and preaching the word. We do it whether we're in the mood or not in the mood, a bit hurt or broken or really excited about our faith. This isn't something we put off, it's something we get into. Now, I'm not a natural evangelist. And I have had to, and I have to work super hard at this. And I have to work so hard that I wrote this book for me. By me, for me. And it's all come over the last 10 or 12 years in Johannesburg. These are tools to help me stay engaged. 1, 2, 3, 4. Missional living plan. That's what we're looking at today. Personal testimony. Concise ways of sharing the gospel. And some common objections. Before we look at these, a word of provocation. The task is urgent. Spurgeon said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Arms about their knees. I think he probably had in mind a rugby picture, a rugby football. You tackle by getting your arms around their knees. Let us get our arms around their knees and stop them going there and help them go to Christ instead. I played rugby in my youth. Tackling practice was the worst bit. The coach says, okay, we're going to do tackling practice. No one likes it because some of you have to run and get tackles. It's terrible. Others of you have to be the tacklers and you get your head smashed in by their knees. It's tough. And Spurgeon is saying, this is urgent, but it's not easy, and we need to do tackling practice. So that's what we're doing over the next 2 weeks. Also, bottom paragraph, right down to the bottom. Remember that most people need a number of encounters with different Christians to get them to and across the line of faith. This can take many years and many different encounters with Christians, but we can each play our part. So you might have heard of the Engel scale. A guy called Engel invented it. If this is zero here, zero, it's where you become a Christian. This is minus 10, kind of Satanist high priest zone. Moving forward to open but skeptical. Moving forward to intrigued. Crossing the line of faith, believing in Jesus, and then you go forward right up to Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, stand it up. Right up there at 10. Now, we need help in being evangelized and then being edified or encouraged or discipled in our faith. And some of us have the privilege of walking with someone all the way through. Very often, you take a couple of steps with someone, and then you think, oh, it hasn't worked. No, God's at work. Who are you to say what's worked and what hasn't worked? If you can just help them take one step forward, God will organize that someone else helps them take another and another and so on. So everyone can play. It's wonderful. So this missional living plan, three tips, thoughts, suggestions. Pick them. Donnie spoke a bit to this. Pick. Then pray, then prioritize. The first thing is to pick a group of people that you will consider your priority group of friends. Now, I want to stress the word friends. They're not projects. They're friends, okay? And if I'd run out of time and I only had three seconds for my entire preach this week and next week, I would say, be a good friend. That would be my summary of how to be a good evangelist. Be a great friend. Think how you can be the best possible friend to people who don't know Jesus, and be that friend for years. Because if you do that, naturally, issues of faith will come up. Naturally, they'll watch the way you live and the good, bad, and ugly times of your life. Friends talk about things. So that would be the summary. Help your friends towards and hopefully across the line of faith. I'm thinking acquaintances through best buddies. Now, this group of priority friends, this list that Donnie was talking about, you can adjust as time goes by. Don't neglect other people, but the point is if you don't shoot at any target, you certainly won't hit any target. Now, to pick this group, and this will be very encouraging for you. If you think, oh, I don't know any non-Christians, you'll be amazed how wrong you are. God has positioned you. He's hooked you up. Think of these four social networks that you're part of: family and relatives, neighbors, colleagues, and those with shared interests. Think of one to three people in each group, and they can become your priority group of friends, those who you're particularly going to befriend and hopefully get a chance to talk to about spiritual things. Go for it now. 30 seconds. Either on your phone or if you've got a pen, or just make a mental note, think through and try and get some names here. You can do some more later, but just seize the moment now. Go. Okay, so you pick. Next thing you do is pray. Prayer helps so much. Pray that, watch what you're praying for in this paragraph. Pray for various aspects of their life and challenges they're facing. Don't just pray that they become Christians, You're their friend. Pray God's blessing and help in different areas of their lives. Pray that they'd be increasingly open to the gospel, and pray that you'd be an excellent and faithful friend to them, whether they become Christians or not. Then, once you have prayed, you've prayed, now you need to prioritize. Life is busy, and Satan will do anything to distract us from developing these missional relationships. So we need to build in missional rhythms. And wonderfully, this doesn't necessarily mean you get more busy. It may, it probably won't. It's just living wisely and recognizing where God's placed you and how you can capitalize. So, how do we leverage some rhythms and activities for the best advantage to make friends and be great friends to unbelievers? Work. Think about that. Your workplace of work. And like, you don't have time to think much now, so just track with me, and then this is homework. But how could you leverage lunch hours, office parties? Maybe you don't like office parties. It may be time to start liking office parties, at least the first half of them. Sometimes you have to leave halfway through, don't you? When you hit the strip joint or people are so drunk, it's not worth it, and you feel that would be compromised from then on. But maybe you could go along at least for the first part. Gym. Could you join a class rather than working out alone? Could you work out at the same time each day at the gym, and then you're likely to see the same people? Depending on your personality type, it may feel natural. You know, you're working out, and the guy next to you, first day, do not go, hello. I'm a Christian, he'll punch you, throw a dumbbell at you, you'll deserve it. Guys don't do that in gyms usually. You grunt at each other, or you nod. And you form the connection. If you see him in 2 days' time, you know, if you're working on chest Mondays and legs Wednesdays, you may well find him. And I've got friends who've had surprising success at befriending unbelievers and them actually coming to faith. So I've got a friend called Jacques. Ash, remember Jacques Adamo? So as elders back in Joburg, once a month, part of our elders' meeting would be, hey, how's it going with your missional living plan? And we would swap stories to provoke and encourage each other. And Jacques, who was one of the elders, he had this imaginary friend, we thought, who he worked out at the gym with. You know, like the movie Beautiful Minds, where no one's really there. So Jacques would always say, well, I'm still, you know, this friend, and I got a drink with him after gym now. But then he kept it going for 3 years, and we ragged him ragged on this, not thinking this guy existed. Blow me down. This guy came to faith in his church. He's been water baptized. He's a full-on member in the church. I've met the guy. He's legit. It's real. And that was just from Jacques doing this, leveraging his rhythm of gym for best missional advantage. I met a couple here at guest reception. You may even be here today if you've come back again. And I said to the guy, so how do you end up here today? And he said, oh, I'm friends with so-and-so, and pointed to a covenant lifer. I said, where did you meet him? He said, oh, we've been working out at the gym together for 8 years. And he said he's invited me along to this tough questions series because I've got questions like this. Fantastic. Gym. Barber, hairdresser, banker, coffee shop. You can apply the same principle. I'm making good friends with my banker. Really good gospel progress going on there. And if you're here today, mate, thank you for your great financial service and being a good friend. Students. School parents. Over the years with our kids at school, if you're parents and you've got kids at the same school, there's an automatic bond of trust. You're like in. And you can accelerate a friendship quite nicely there through sporting events, getting them around to your home, and so on. Playing and watching sports and hobbies. We've just recently installed a 70-inch TV in our home. Every inch is for mission, I assure you. Inviting neighbors over to watch the Super Bowl, and, you know. You could start a book club, hobbies, neighborhood gatherings. Americans can be pretty good at that. Neighborhood gatherings are great, particularly from moving from stranger to acquaintance and then helping acquaintance become friend. It's just an environment where it's easy to meet people you don't know. Mums, groups, book clubs. Book clubs can be great because book clubs are kind of slightly philosophical. What did you think of this book? And it's easy to slip into talking about spiritual things because most books have themes in that direction, even if they're somewhat underground. Meals, 21 meals a week. If you're thinking, I don't know where to start, think once a month or once a week or once every 2 weeks. Thursday night, that's going to be, you always invite people who you think aren't yet believers in. That just start somewhere with that. Okay, so action steps. What current rhythms of life, down at the bottom in green, what current rhythms of life could you better leverage for missional friendships? It's like, what are you doing that if you just did a bit more thoughtfully, it could facilitate friendship starting and friendship building? Or what new rhythms or activities could you integrate into your life to help start and develop meaningful friendships? And that's the one I'm in at the moment, just living here for 6 months. I think I'm doing okay at turning strangers into acquaintances. Like what Donnie was saying, I try and be present, I try and go slow, so I'm not just opening a bank account, I'm making friends. I was buying a refrigerator and a freezer the other day from a big department store. I was in such a rush. You know when you just want to walk in there, pick it, that one. You know, you just want a salesperson who's organized and sharp and just say, yes, sir. I'll sort out the delivery. Well, that's what I was hoping for. And the lady said, oh, this is quite a big one you want. And I said, yeah, I'm pastor of a church, and we often have lots of people over, so I need a really big refrigerator. And she was, church? And it was just the moment. And the moment became 50 minutes. It was a wonderful 50 minutes. And I think it was helpful, really helpful to her. And if you're here, I know I invited you along on Sunday. If you're here, I'm so glad you're here. And I hope you're finding it helpful. But we didn't just speak about church. We got on to talking about Jesus. Is Jesus really the son of God? Or was he just a good religious figure in history? God is at work on people all over the Montgomery County and Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. All around. God sent his son that people would come to faith. We just need to slow down, keep fishing, keep some hooks out. God will open up some wonderful, wonderful opportunities. But all that said, I'm doing okay with these smaller interactions. I think I've told some of you before, but I made a Muslim friend who runs a garage. We're striking up a friendship. There's some traction there. But I need to take up lacrosse or something. Is there a lacrosse club for old guys or who want to be younger? I need something, a running club. I need something where there's just a more sustained environment for meaningful friendships. Okay, right, let's do it. We're going to press through 6 minutes. Let's go. Once you've picked, pray, prioritize, naturally engage on spiritual things. So firstly, let them know you're a Christian in a natural, unforced, non-cheesy, non-Christian way. This could be done indirectly by weaving into a conversation that you need a big fridge because you're a pastor. Or we often have so many friends over from our church and their friends. You know, you work it for yourself. Or when someone says, how was your weekend? Say, oh, it was pretty good. I was a bit late for church. Many of us will be able to slip that in naturally. Yeah, I was a bit late for church. I wasn't really in the mood, but yeah, it was a great weekend. What you've just done is let them know that you're a churchgoer. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian, but it's a start. And you didn't go, oh, church was so wonderful. They'll immediately think, you know, just say, yeah. Just be chilled. It's easy. Live an attractive life. Not a perfect life, but if you're grumpy and high maintenance, you'll likely repel more than attract to Christianity. Ask them about their faith and just listen. This one is gold, this tip. You might say, are you a person of faith? And no matter what they say, whether they say yes or no or something else, say, what does that look like for you? Are you a person of faith? No, I'm an atheist. All right, what does that look like for you? Don't show disapproval if you disagree with what they believe. Ask questions and listen with interest. This is an expression of love, respect, and humility, and it'll help you understand them better. It might also mean that you get a hearing in due course about your view of faith. Fourthly, listen to their problems and maybe offer to pray for them. Again, this is top tip here. Listen to their problems, maybe offer to pray for them. And if you know, and I had this recently with someone, we were both in a shop together, waiting to be served, struck up a conversation, and this person mentioned a difficulty in their life, and I honed in on that and said, You know what you said just then? I'm so sorry to hear that. That sounds very difficult. And I opened up, and I was able to open up about my life having difficulties as well, some quite meaningful difficulties in the past. And there was just an immediate softening. And it was just two people being friendly. I was initiating, but it was two people being friendly to each other. Share your problems and struggles with them. So if you're hanging out with parents of your kids' friends, you get into talking about, you know, how it's difficult parenting teenagers, don't say, well, come along to our church, you will find out how to do it. Say, yeah, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy, is it? If they say, I'm struggling with that, empathize with it. I mean, you can't be fake. You can't be false. But the point is, we do not have all the answers. We have the ultimate answer about the meaning of life and all eternity, Jesus. But we don't have all the answers on everything. And we don't want to come across like we do. That can make us come across quite aloof and holier than thou. Let them become aware, hopefully intrigued. So your lifestyle, you can read about that one later, but you've got to live the life. And if it doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It means just when you blow it, you need to say a sincere sorry. And then at the bottom of the page, as opportunity arises, you can share your testimony with them. How do you do that? Glad you asked. We'll look at that next week. How do you share the gospel in a concise way with them? We'll get to that. Also remember, over the page, I just want to finish off this page and a half, because then we're set for next week. Remember that as people get older, life's challenges generally increase. Be a faithful friend, hang in there, guard your credibility for when the moment is right. Wonderfully, in our last year in Joburg, last year or two in Joburg, we had a wonderful example of this, of a couple whose kid had a terrible brain tumor, and we were able to move in and befriend them, and our friendship over a 12 to 18 month period, both parents came to Christ. And if you ask them, they will say, God used that crisis and our friendship with PJ and Ash to help us realize that Jesus is Lord and realize the most important things in life. And that was out of a crisis. And then the third step here is draw them into your church community. And that means get them amongst us. We can help one another in this. The first and most important aspect to this is helping your unbelieving friends make friends with other of your believing friends. This could start around a shared hobby, around the grill, watching a game, but it requires your church friends to be on the ball. So long as a group of church friends are welcoming to outsiders, not cliquey, their friendship circle can be a key part in helping the unbeliever become intrigued with Christianity. Jesus said, love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So how I love Fred and how I love Andrew and how Fred, Andrew and PJ love each other and are mates together and serve each other, Jesus said, as that witness there will be interesting and intriguing for someone who's not a believer. But it does mean that PJ, Andrew and Fred need to have a circle that allows others in. It's no good for evangelism if PJ, Andrew and Fred, they've known each other since 18. They're the tightest three in the church. Well, they've got a great little bubble holy huddle thing going. Your what you've got there is a fantastic potential evangelistic environment. Just loosen out a bit, let others in, let unbelievers in. You three could fish together quite brilliantly. Tim Chester, the quote in the middle of the page, to reach the many people today who have rejected church, we need to take church to them by doing mission in the context of ordinary life. As people hang out with us, eat meals with us, do chores with us, they will encounter a disparate group of people who are somehow family together, a community that challenges their priorities and provokes their questions. The other great thing about having a group of believers befriending your unbelieving friend is that there are now more of you in the mix to help live out and speak the gospel to your unbelieving friends. I think I will pause there, because although we've only got two half pages to go, those are two important half pages, and we'll pick up there next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing truth that you came in the form of your son Jesus to fish for men. We thank you so much that you were evangelistically on the front foot in heaven and you came to us. And we do pray, Lord, individually and collectively, that over these 2 weeks we would be really encouraged and equipped to keep taking steps forward in this direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.